These differences reiterate that while Aeneas in many ways retraces Odysseus' steps, this is not simply a Roman odyssey. Virgil is doing much more than simply retelling the odyssey with a different hero. Once again, as we've seen several times already in Book 1, the focus is on Aeneas' destiny as the Roman people's ancestor, not on his adventures as an individual hero. In fact, he says rather plainly several times that had it been up to him, he never would have undertaken these adventures that drive him ever onwards toward Italy. As Aeneas gets into his account of the sack of Troy, he starts right away with telling about the great wooden horse, the horse that was thought up by Ulysses in Roman terminology, Odysseus in Greek. After building this vast wooden horse and filling it with their best warriors, Aeneas says, the Greeks left the horse in front of the Trojan gates and sailed away to the nearby island of Tenedos, where they could moor their ships and not be seen from Troy. So the Trojans wake up one morning and the Greeks are gone. Their camps are gone, their ships are gone, there's no trace of the Greeks, there's just this vast wooden horse standing outside the gates of Troy. The Trojans react, as one could well imagine, after 10 years of being besieged. They react with joy. They're delighted that the Greeks are gone. They're also astonished by the horse, and they're unsure what to do with it. Some of them think it should be taken inside the city. Others think it should be destroyed. And while they are debating what exactly to do with the horse, a priest of Neptune named Laocoon comes up and advises against accepting the horse in perhaps the most famous words in Virgil's Aeneid. Laocoon says, Temeo Danaos et dona ferentes, I fear the Greeks even when bearing gifts. He tells the Trojans not to take the horse inside the city. He reminds them that this is not the way Ulysses has ever acted before, that the Greeks are not to be trusted, and that the horse is undoubtedly some engine of destruction for the city of Troy. He then strikes the side of the horse with his spear, and the wood groans. It's obviously hollow wood. At this point, Aeneas comments that Laocoon would have persuaded the Trojans if fate had not been against it. He says, had the outcome not been fated by the gods, and had our minds not wandered off, Laocoon would then have made our sword points foul the Argive den, and Troy, you would be standing yet, and you, high fort of Priam, you would still survive. Now, the connection there between what's fated by the gods and what the Trojans' own minds led them to do is even closer in the Latin than this translation indicates. The Latin says, Si fata Deum, si mens non laeva fuisit. If the fates of the gods, if our mind had not been laeva, which means turned opposite, against, opposed. The same adjective, laeva, agrees with both the fates of the gods and with the Trojans' minds, linking very closely these two forms of causation, that the fate of the gods was against the Trojans discovering what the horse was, and that the Trojans' own minds were turned aside. It's an example of the double motivation so crucial throughout the Aeneid, where events are motivated both by the will of the gods and by human actions. While the Trojans are discussing the horse, shepherds bring a Greek captive named Sinon before the Trojans, and particularly before King Priam. And Sinon tells a lying story which persuades the Trojans to take their horse into the city. All of this, of course, is part of the plot. This is what the Greeks had in mind when they left the horse behind in the first place, and when they left Sinon behind, that the Trojans would be tricked into taking the horse inside their city. What Sinon says, it's all a lie, but what Sinon says is that the Greeks had received an oracle from the god Apollo demanding a human sacrifice. And Sinon says that he himself, Sinon, was chosen as that sacrifice because Ulysses hates him, but that he managed to escape, run away, and hide rather than being sacrificed to the gods. He says that the Greeks have returned home, have sailed home to Greece to try to regain their gods' favor by sacrifices and propitiating the gods, and to get reinforcements, but that the Greeks will then come back